Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Legacies and leaders in a moment. Some thoughts about the late Baroness, once Prime Minister of Britain, Margaret Thatcher. But down here in Texas, there are presidential legacies and footprints everywhere in this state. There's the George H.W. Bush Airport here in Houston, the Johnson Library over in Austin, and now the George W. Bush Library opening on May Day, May 1st of this year in Dallas. With us to talk about that and what Bush 43 has been doing lately is Tom Benning. Tom is a staff writer at the Dallas Morning News who recently interviewed President Bush. Tom, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Brendan Miniter, who's senior editorial director of the George W. Bush Institute. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Brendan, right off the top, I wouldn't have thought George W. Bush was a big celebrator of May Day, but this is opening on May 1st.
It is. So we have our dedication on April 25th. That's when all the former presidents will be here, and we'll have a big celebration, and then we open the doors to the general public on the 1st of May. So it should be the weather should be good, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people to come out.
Tom Benning, how excited is the former president about this particular milestone?
Well, I think he's very excited. I mean, this has been more than 4 years in the making since he left the White House, and he hasn't been perhaps as as much on the public stage as some other former presidents, such as former Bill Clinton, and that's kind of by design. He's been focused on the Bush Institute and the Bush Center and making sure this all comes to fruition. So it certainly will be a big day for President Bush and the entire Bush family.
Is he happy to be out of the limelight? Does he have anything to say about the events that have transpired since he left office?
Well, I think there's no question that he relishes being back in Texas, his home. When he left the White House, he said he wanted to leave politics behind. And as I said, he's stayed true to that promise. You don't hear him opining a lot on Congress or President Obama or the issue of the day. But he still is involved on select issues through the Institute and still has a desire to remain involved in policy.
For those of us who covered George W. Bush during his presidency and spent any time in Crawford, Texas, where he has his ranch, one discovered that here is a DIY, do-it-yourself environmentalist with all of the technology that he has there to make that ranch very much a sustainability project. Has he continued with all of that?
Well, absolutely. And Brendan could probably tell you a little bit more about that. But he and Laura Bush, his wife, have made sustainability a huge point for the Bush Center. It's the first ever presidential library to receive a LEED Platinum rating for new construction. And there's all, that goes into all different elements of the center, from the tools needed for archival work to this 15-acre park that surrounds the facility that features native Texas, plants and is designed to look like a prairie. So that is certainly an element of the center.
Brendan, how does the vision of George W. Bush go with the sense of unflinching history that the presidential library really needs to focus on to be true to the events that Americans will be discovering and rediscovering for decades?
Well, the centerpiece of the library, of course, is the Presidential Museum. We have about 14,000 square feet dedicated to the museum, which is a little less than some other presidential museums. But, the guiding principle in putting this museum together was just put the facts out there pretty boldly, pretty directly, and let them speak for themselves and let visitors come to their own conclusions on the events that shaped the 8 years that President Bush was in the White House. And, so if you run through the museum, what you see from 9/11 to the treatment of the Iraq War and war in Afghanistan, to meeting with political dissidents, to domestic issues that he took on, from education reform to immigration reform to Social Security, Medicare, dealing with Hurricane Katrina, we just pretty directly put the facts out there, allow them to speak for themselves, and I think that may surprise or at least provoke a little thought and maybe even a little debate among a lot of our visitors. So it should be, I think, very interesting, and I think a lot of people will enjoy the chance to go through it.
Anyone who spent one-on-one FaceTime with George W. Bush understood his directness and the sense of how his personality is right there. Tom Benning, did the president make any statements about the recent Republican setbacks in the election? Does he want to have a bigger role strategically in guiding the GOP? Any lessons, any finger-pointing?
Well, I wouldn't say he had direct advice for the GOP, but one of the more interesting aspects of President Bush's post-presidency is that, you know, by staying focused on certain policy issues that are important to him, he has on occasion come into conflict with the GOP. For instance, he's championed foreign aid, which was an issue that some Republicans wanted to curtail or eliminate in the most recent presidential election. He's also – he called – early on for a benevolent spirit in the immigration debate. That was a statement he made at a Bush Institute event. So I asked him what message he is sending to the GOP by focusing on these issues. And, you know, he steered clear of any specific advice, but he said he stands by the principles that guided him as president, and that those kind of principles are ones that need to be articulated and defended as time goes on. So you could see a reflection of the famous, you know, philosophy of the Bush presidency, compassionate conservatism, in much of what happens at the Institute. And the larger point that President Bush had, that for people to understand what he was talking about with that, was to look at the programs he implemented and look at the results. And he feels like if folks look at the results again, either by going through the museum or coming to the center or reading his book, that they might have a different come to a different conclusion than they thought.
Tom Benning, why did the former president pick you to talk to exclusively?
Well, I think you'd have to ask him, I guess.
But what's your theory? Did you beat him at tennis? What happened?
Well, I've been covering the Bush Center and I guess by extension President Bush for about a year now. And when I started covering the beat, I basically told him and others at the center that I wanted to cover every aspect of it. And so I've been at almost every event that's been here in Dallas. I've just tried to, you know, cover all angles of it. And I think that, you know, showed them that I was serious about this and that that I would be fair about it. And it's been a real neat opportunity to talk to him and go mountain biking with him on one occasion. And so I couldn't tell you specifically, but other than just being there for everything.
Brendan Miniter is Senior Editorial Director of the George W. Bush Institute. Tom Benning, staff writer at the Dallas Morning News. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.